the sermon, and it will be part two, Moving in Truth. There was a message I gave two Sundays ago, and the main text is from Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And God's people said, amen. You know, the seed is talking about God's truth, right? God's truth. And, you know, as you spend more and more time with the Lord, and what you realize, the scripture, God's truth, is not just our head knowledge. You know, we're not supposed to use the Bible, you know, like what a lot of people do. Oh, you know, should we use the Bible to argue, should you drink alcohol or not drink alcohol socially, you know? Should Christian watch rated R movies or not, you know? Should Christian always drive on New Jersey Turnpike, you know, 65, you know, and not over 70, you know, you're sinning. You see, Word of God, God's truth wasn't just to change some little behaviors here. The Word of God is to change your life. It's supposed to change your life. And so in this passage, what it said, the seed, the God's truth touches the heart. Okay, the truth touches the heart. And when God's truth touches the heart, it's not about should you watch rated R or not. You know, again, this is all personal stuff that you guys could decide on your own, you know. But it wasn't meant to judge everybody else because you do certain things and other people don't do it. It's supposed to really speak into your own heart, go to the bone and marrow, deepest part of you. It's supposed to touch your heart. And what it means, the Word of God touches the root issues of your heart. It touches the shame that you have in your heart. It touches the brokenness, our fears. It touches the pride, you know, our selfishness and the rebellion that's in our heart. And that's, you know, I don't think the devil really cares if you argue year after year, should Christians drink alcohol socially or not? Okay, you can hold on to it for the rest of your life. I don't think the devil really cares. See, what the devil don't want is God's truth to transform your life. Because this is what God wants to do. He wants to transform your life. And that's when the evil one comes, okay? When there's truth of God moving in your heart to bring transformation, to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring victory, the Bible says the enemy comes, okay? Tries to snatch away the seed that was sown in your heart. Yeah. Two Sundays ago, it was Moving in Truth, and I talked about what's a condition that makes you not understand the Word of God. Okay? It says when you don't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away the seed. Two Sundays ago, I talked about loneliness. Okay, loneliness. And today is part two, another condition that makes you not understand what the truth of God, okay, working in your heart is anger, okay, it's anger. What I talked about loneliness last time, and the feeling of loneliness, okay, the feeling of loneliness, nobody is immune to it, and nobody has monopoly on loneliness, okay? Jesus went through loneliness. And the feeling of loneliness is not sin. It's not sin. But when you are lonely, it could make you sin, okay? But it's not sin. The devil can use loneliness to snatch God's truth from your heart. But God is different, okay? When you're going through loneliness, God wants to use loneliness to prepare you, to draw near to you. Okay? Likewise, the feeling of anger, okay, is not sin. Did you guys hear that? The feeling of anger is not sin. The Bible talks about God getting angry. Okay? God getting angry. And when God gets angry, okay, it's not sin, but what we call righteous anger. Okay, righteous anger. The Bible talks about God's wrath, you know, God's anger burning against his people. Why? Because of their sin, okay? Because of their immorality, because of idolatry, and because of stubbornness in their heart. And so the feeling of anger, and we see Jesus in the gospel getting angry. Did you know that? Hello? What? You see, when people made the temple into a marketplace, okay, he was angry. He was very angry. Okay? When he saw selfish ambition, he got angry. At legalism and self-righteousness, he got angry. Okay? Hypocrisy, he got angry. When he saw the lack of faith, he got upset. You know? So that, and Jesus got angry, but he did not sin when he got angry. There's this, you know, but you know, some people, I feel like you never get angry. And it's not because, you know, it's a good character flaw, but I want you to really seek the Lord. Because a lot of time when I meet people who never gets angry, it's that they're emotionally shut down. Okay? They have emotionally shut down. Okay? And again, Jesus got lonely, but did not sin in loneliness. In another word, Jesus did not allow the enemy to steal from him. Okay? And Jesus got angry, but he did not sin in anger. In another word, Jesus did not allow the enemy to steal from him when he was angry. Okay? And you see, God, the Bible, you know, God is angry at sin, right? What was the response of God? God sent his only son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sin. You know, and we, as a Christian, should be angry at injustice. Amen? Right? We should be angry at injustice. But that anger, how does it come out? Usually, when we see injustice, we try to come up with the way the anger is expressed is we try to come up with solution to the injustice. We give. We support a charity. Or we come up with a charity, right, to get rid of that injustice. We give our time. We fight to stop injustice. Okay? And that's an appropriate response of anger, okay, when we see injustice. But when anger becomes inappropriate and destructive, right, the Bible says is when the truth touches your heart. Okay? When God's truth touches the root issues of your heart. And you see, when that happens, the natural response is we want to run away from it. We want to blame other people. We want to hold the offense. We want to get bitter. And what happens? Inappropriate anger comes out. And when that happens, it's a condition where we do not understand the truth, and the devil comes and snatches away the seed from our heart. Now, I want to talk about what stirs inappropriate anger. Okay, what stirs inappropriate anger? What does it mean when the seed touches our heart? Okay? Is the seed touches our heart, and inappropriate anger comes out when, number one, when rejected. Right? When we are rejected. This is we're experiencing emotional hurt. When we are rejected, it comes to, okay, it's very painful. When we are abused, we feel rejected. When we're neglected, we feel rejected. When we are abandoned, when we're betrayed, when we feel uncared for, when we are not accepted. The lack of love, rejection is this lack of love from people that's supposed to show you love, but you didn't get it. So you feel rejected. And the devil, okay, when you're going through this rejection, the seed, the truth will come. The truth will come. And the devil doesn't like that. Right? And he wants you to express this negative anger so that he could steal the seed from your heart. Right? But what you and I need to remember, okay? It's painful. Right? It's very painful. It hurts. The rejection hurts. Right? Okay, you gotta make a choice. Do I bring inappropriate anger? Right? Because that's gonna steal the seed. That's gonna steal the seed. Right? And what the devil will do will continue, make it a resentment, make you bitter, so that you will manifest destructive anger. And then what happens is then the anger becomes sin. Okay, the anger becomes sin. Yeah. And so how does it come out, this inappropriate anger? Okay. There's resentment, there's bitterness, when you feel rejected, and the anger's coming out. Okay. But you gotta remember, no, the gospel, this is what the enemy wants to do. As a Christian, I need to focus, what is God doing? What is the Lord doing? And again, the Lord wants to bring healing. Okay? The Lord wants to deliver you. The Lord wants to redeem you. The Lord wants to vindicate you. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Vindicate you. But the way it comes out inappropriately is there's bitterness, resentment, and the enemy will start moving in your heart. And then you develop critical heart. There's self-centeredness, self-righteousness. Some of the most self-righteous person are the most angry people I ever met. Okay? There's self-righteousness, self-protectiveness, self-justification. Okay? When there's a lot of this stuff happening is because there's inappropriate anger in your heart. You become very judgmental toward others. You try to control things, control everything around you. There's arrogance. There's manipulation. There's self. There's selfishness. And there's selfishness. And the condition in your heart is set for the enemy to come in and steal the seed. Okay? Steal the seed. Snatch away. Snatch it away, the seed in the heart. Right? But again, you gotta remember as a Christian, okay? It's not easy. It's like a storm that's going on in your heart during that time. It's a storm that's going on in your heart. Right? And during that storm, you need the foundation of the Word of God. Okay? You need the foundation of the Word of God. And the Bible says the house will stand. The house will stand. You got to remember, okay, during that storm, you got to remember the truth. Okay? God is healing me. Okay? God is setting me free. God is redeeming me. God is vindicating me. You know, if you're had to go through surgery, you know, you're going through a storm. It's painful. Right? It's scary. But you know, this surgeon is trying to help me. So you stay. You know? You don't run away. Right? Well, God is trying to help you. Right? God is there for you. Amen? Okay, so, you know, when rejected, okay, and this is, again, the second thing is when we are fearful. Number two, when we are fearful. Okay? When fearful. Okay, when rejected, a lot of inappropriate anger comes out. Okay? When we are scared and fearful, it causes inappropriate anger to come out. You know, there was a tremendous, like I never seen before, tremendous fear with the COVID pandemic this last 2 years. Tremendous fear. And there were many inappropriate anger that came out in the world. What did it do? It caused division in this nation. It caused division in government, division in community, in families, and even in the church. Right? See, Adam and Eve were scared. Right? They had fear. And what do? They hid from God. That's what the Bible says in Genesis. They hid from God. And so because of that fear, what happened? Adam and Eve sinned, they got afraid, and they hid from the Lord. They were being spiritually attacked. So the devil used fear to snatch away God's work of redemption in their life. You know, redemptive plan of God wasn't created just when Jesus was born. It was prophesied in Genesis 3. Right? When Adam and Eve fell, the seed from the woman will crush the head of the devil. There will be victory. Right? And but we see in the book of Genesis, it made Adam and Eve hide, but doesn't stop there. Okay, if you keep reading the Bible, right, what did Adam do? Inappropriate anger came out. Adam pointed finger at Eve. It's her fault. She gave me this to eat. And God, he pointed his finger. God, you made Eve. I didn't. It's your fault. So this fear, you know, even psychologists, a secular psychologist understand this, causes flight or fight response. Inappropriate anger. When there's flight, you will hide. There will be insecurity. You'll become insecure. There will be self-hatred. There will be self-punishment, self-accusation, self-condemnation. You'll become very pessimistic, negative. You'll become depressed. Or you will, because of fear, you fight. Okay, what does that? You blame. You control, you compete, okay? You complain, you become harsh, you become very argumentative, you start attacking, okay? You attack. And so this kind of anger, what does the Bible say about this kind of anger? I didn't put it up there, but Proverbs 29, it says this kind of anger causes a lot of trouble. This kind of anger makes you sin. Proverbs 15 says it makes you argue all the time. It makes you more argumental. Proverbs 14 says it shows that, okay, this is what the Bible says. You are foolish. Okay? You are foolish. So when this inappropriate anger comes out, okay, you got to understand, there is a cost to this. There is a cost. It says anger causes trouble. Okay? Because of anger, you could lose your position, your opportunity. You could destroy your potential. Anger makes you sin. What does that mean? That anger will blind you to God's will. You can't hear God. You won't be able to fulfill God's purpose for your life. It makes you rebel against God, makes you fall spiritually and fall into bondage. Anger caused, this kind of anger caused argument. It caused conflict in relationships, destroys good relationship. And the Bible says again, you are a fool. Right? You lose people's respect. You lose credibility. You lose relationship, connection, and influence with this inappropriate anger. Now, what does the Bible say? That again, as I was preparing this, God kind of made it personal for me, and he gave me kind of a couple verses. First verse with rejection, Isaiah 49, verse 15. Isaiah 49, verse 15 is the Message version. It says, can a mother forget the infant at her breast? And the way the scripture, other translation puts it, this is impossible. This should never happen, right? Can a mother forget the infant at her breast? Walk away from the baby she bore? But even if a mother forget, I never forget you. Never. Never. And then, with fear, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. This is the passage that, again, it's a personal passage that God gave me. There is no fear in love. Okay? But it's not just human love here he's talking about. It's talking about perfect love. Okay? God's love. Only God could love you perfectly. Okay? God's love drives out fear. It drives it out. Okay? Drives it out. A lot of time, again, the word of God touches your heart because there's rejection, right? And there's emptiness. And God wants to heal. God wants to fill you, love you, comfort you, encourage you, right? But what happens is, you don't feel love, and God wants to give that perfect love, but this fear comes out, and the enemy comes and steals that seed. I was thinking about this, about, rejection and fear, and I thought, okay, what could be the solution to rejection and fear? And my human thought was faith. Because I always try to practice faith. It's very important. Faith. Faith that moves mountains. Moves rejection. Moves fear. Faith that moves mountains. But that passage really... Isaiah 49, I was crying. Here's a person that's experiencing the greatest rejection, something that you can't comprehend. A mother rejecting her own baby. It can make anyone angry if that's what you experienced. It can make anyone angry. And there's this great fear, and fear will make you angry. What's the solution? It's not faith, but God's love. God's love. In great rejection, God's love, he says, I will never forget you. Never. In great fear, he says, I will love you perfectly. Can you? I will love you perfectly. God's love drives out fear. And this is very important, It's like, again, I've been kind of focusing on the gospel message, last Sunday, and I want to continue to do that because it's the gospel message. Our real value comes when you know what God thinks about you. More than what others think about you. Okay? Real value, who you are, comes when you know what God thinks about you instead of what other people think about you. Every day you need to remember the way God loves you. You are completely, it says perfect love, you are completely accepted by God. You know, growing up in my Korean family, Korean culture family, in Korean culture, I thought if I could, perfect grades, perfect in, you know, school and perfect, you know, and now, you know, yeah, school. That's the only condition. I can't think of anything else my parents wanted. They just wanted straight A's. If I was perfect in grades, I will be accepted. Then everyone, you know, will like me. Okay? Yeah, you know, in college, you know, straight A students, I didn't like them. Yeah, because I didn't get straight A's. I was jealous. I didn't like them because they got straight A's. Yeah. But Jesus was perfect. You got to remember this. Jesus was perfect, and a lot of people didn't like him. Read the gospel. A lot of people didn't like him. So here's the thing. In a fallen world, it's not everyone's approval that will make you happy. In a fallen world, you will face disapproval again and again and again and again. You cannot avoid it. Okay? You're not going to avoid it. But in heaven, there'll be perfect. We will encounter the we'll see Jesus. So we, you know, there will be no barrier to his perfect. Sorry, I'm getting too excited. So there will be no barrier to God's perfect love. But we live in a broken world, and we're going to have to fight. We've got to fight the spiritual battle. Right? We're not going to feel good. There will be a struggle. There will be wrestling. But because of what Jesus did, in a fallen world, we could encounter the perfect love of God. Amen? We could encounter the perfect love of God. In disapproval, in rejection, in fear. Your acceptance has already been settled by God. How much do you think you are worth? Okay? It's not based on how much money you have in your bank. More money you have, I'm worth more. Okay? The less you have or how much salary you're making. If it's based on that, I'm not worth that much. I'm not worth it. It's not net worth that. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. It's talking about self-worth. What makes something valuable? And there's two things. I mentioned this before. And there's two things. Okay? Two questions. Who owns it? And what someone is willing to pay for it? Okay? Who owns it? And what someone is willing to pay for it, okay? Who owns it? You know, my old bed, my bedroom, in our bedroom, is not worth that much because I own it, you know. My wife and I own it. But Abraham Lincoln owned that bed. It will be priceless, okay? It will be priceless. In Christ, you are a child of God. You belong to God. Say that to your neighbor. You know, you are his creation. He is your creator. You are his masterpiece. Say that to your neighbor. Yeah, you are his painting on this canvas. If you go to an art museum, you go to, you know, my family always likes to go after the shop, the store in the museum. Right? And when you go to the store, you'll see these posters of this painting that you just saw hung up in the museum. You know, that painting is a poster of it, guess how much that's worth? $10. Okay? But the original masterpiece, priceless. Okay? Priceless. Say to your neighbor, you're not a copy. Huh? You're his original masterpiece. You are, say to your neighbor, you are priceless. And how much you're worth? What someone is willing to pay for it. Okay? What someone is willing to pay. You know, if you're trying to sell your house and you think, my house is worth $1.5 million, okay? And nobody's willing to pay that, it's not worth $1.5 million. I don't care, you know, how much you think it's worth. Okay? It's not worth $1.5 million. It's worth how much people are willing to pay. If some only person, you know, that you got, you're selling your house, I'm willing to pay $100,000 for it. That's how much your house is worth. Right? You know, I have an old 1996 motorcycle still in my garage that I cannot ride because it's broken. And it's very valuable to me. It's very valuable to me. But Hee-jung asked me, why don't you sell it, you know? And I said, no. Okay, partly it's because it's valuable to me, but another reason is I'm not going to get that much for it. Yeah, I'm not going to get that much for it. There's nobody out there that's going, this is worth it. This is so beautiful, motorcycle. This is the most valuable. I'm willing to pay all this thousands. No, I'm not gonna get much for it. So you know, I told him, but it's still valuable to me. But it's not, you know, but nobody's willing to pay that much for it. So I told my wife, let's wait till it becomes a classic. Well, I didn't tell her it might take 100 years. let's wait till it becomes a classic. Then it's gonna be more valuable. You know, how much are you worth to God? And what did he pay for you? How much are you worth? The Bible says God sent his only son, Jesus, to pay for you. You were bought by Christ's death. You know, last week I shared the gospel, and I want to share it again. How much are you worth? Yeah. You see, the cost of sin is ridiculously expensive. Okay. Ridiculously expensive. No matter how smart you are, how capable, how talented, no matter what education you got, no human being can work enough, pay enough, or be good enough to pay for just even one person's sin. That's how much the cost of sin is. Okay? No human leader or president or king, human leader, president or king in this world could give his life to pay for sin. It's not enough. It's not enough. Okay? All the money in the world to pay for one person's sin. It's not enough. It's not enough. The cost was so great. God himself had to pay the price. God had to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. For God so loved the world, he gave his son for you. Only God's life could be enough to pay for the sins, your sin and my sin and the world's sin. Jesus rescued you and me, redeemed you, saved you, took the penalty for your sin and my sin, and died for you and died for me. God's people said, yeah, you guys are so valuable. Let's worship.